Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. The U.S. Attorney for New York and the on-demand car hailing service Uber, what do they have in common? Well, this week, they both faced a series of setbacks. Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, saw two convictions for insider trading cases tossed out on appeal, and Uber is facing increased opposition to its popular service both here at home and abroad. Well, with me to dig into these stories are Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. And Joe, let's start with the insider trading story. First, explain exactly what happened.
Well, two hedge fund managers were convicted of insider trading based on tips that they got from their analyst who got it from somebody else who got it from somebody else at the company. So they were
pretty far removed.
And so what eventually happened was that on appeal, the judges ruled that these guys had no way of particularly knowing this was actually insider information. And there was also one other thing that's really worth pondering. According to the Supreme Court law on this, you have to also know that the person giving the tip is going to receive some personal benefit from it. Otherwise, it's not insider trading.
So does this change the way that insider trading is going to be prosecuted on Wall Street?
I think it does. I mean, I think it sets down a real precedent that's going to make it harder to prove insider trading, which frankly was already pretty hard to prove to begin with. It's very fuzzy. I think it calls into question some of Preet Bharara's prosecutions and the aggressiveness with which they're done. The thing that actually always made me a little nervous about some of the recent insider trading scandals and the prosecutions is that there was a little bit of a sense of, well, we can't get Wall Street for the bigger stuff, so let's try for this. And actually, there's a lot of bigger stuff going on right now. You know, the Dodd-Frank derivatives rule is in the process of being rolled back. There are problems with the big banks still. So I think that this stuff's important, but I think it's sort of small potatoes compared to some of the bigger problems on the street.
But don't forget, there is no actual law against insider trading. It's enveloped in the laws around fraud. And so what's happened is that insider trading has become a crime through case law, through cases brought. And the courts are, I mean, it may sound strange, but the courts are much less obsessed with some people having more information than other people than the SEC is and the Justice Department.
It does raise the question for people outside of Wall Street who don't see prosecutions for what happened in 2008. They are seeing an insider trading case being overthrown. I mean, it kind of raises the question, what does it take to get sent to jail on Wall Street?
Well, and that goes to Joe's point. A lot of what happens on Wall Street is actually legal, you know? It's not against the law.
It takes wiretaps is what it takes. Yeah. Don't forget, some of the big prosecutions on insider trading came about because the government had wiretapped. Now, these latest cases, the ones that have been overturned, there were no wiretaps. There were some moderately incriminating emails. And journalists I know who have really dug deep into this firmly believe these guys knew it was inside information. But the courts basically said that's not good enough.
So in the end, was this a good week for insider trading?
Well, it depends on what side you're on. I think that it was a good week for the legal system.
Well, let's turn to another topic, the car hailing app Uber. And I just want to kind of go through this list. You have the San Francisco and Los Angeles district attorneys filing suit. You have the city of Portland filing suit. You have Spain and Thailand ordering the company to cease operations. And then you go to India and you've got two regions that are now banning the car service. And yet people still love it. So what does it take for a company like this to maybe hit a roadblock?
Oh, they're going to hit a roadblock. They are going to hit a roadblock.
Where? Why? I mean, look at all this, and yet they still keep going, and people still keep using them.
Well, in New Delhi, the reason they're banned in New Delhi is because a driver is accused of raping a passenger. In Portland, they're basically saying you have to be regulated like a taxi does. Mm-hmm.
And yet in Portland, they just said, okay, whatever, we're going forward anyway, and people are voting with their fingers on their phones and using it.
That's true.
And I think that, frankly, is what's going to get some of these companies in trouble, is that there's a sense of arrogance, that the companies are above the local laws, that they're above regulations. And, you know, a lot of people complain, well, there are just these incumbents, the established taxi services that are complaining and they should be disrupted. Well, okay, but the disruptors have to abide by the same laws, have the same regulations, pay the same kind of taxes.
Oh, you're so old world.
I'm old school.
I mean, these companies come in here and they disrupt things. And you know, they have been incredibly successful at disrupting, and people use it. So what do you do when you create facts on the ground? And if thousands of people in Portland, Oregon are using Uber, and even if the city's saying stop it, if people want to use it.
That's why they hired David Plouffe, one of the president's former top advisors, to take care of this for him. I mean, his job is basically to smooth the regulatory feathers after they've ruffled them.
Well, now let's take a look at some of the other stories that we're looking at. Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm really interested in plummeting oil prices and what they're doing for the U.S. economy. You know, on the one hand, this is a great thing for consumers. It's basically the equivalent in the next year, if prices stay this low, of a $100 billion tax break. And you can see that in consumer spending already. People are starting to spend more. But if prices stay low, it will also make it harder for U.S. domestic oil and gas producers to frack, to get all that sort of homegrown energy out of the ground, which could end up hurting the economy.
Yeah, but look at the people it's really hurting. It's hurting Putin.
Mm-hmm. The Petrozars are going down.
It's hurting Venezuela.
Yep.
It's hurting Iran.
Absolutely.
And Joe, you're a big proponent of the Keystone Pipeline from Canada into the U.S. Is it hurting the possibility of that?
Absolutely. Because the more the cheaper oil gets, the less viable these really expensive methods of extraction become. I mean, there's no question about that. And so the question for the oil industry on this is how long will this last?
So, Joe, what are you watching?
I'm watching The Hack from Hell. Sony Pictures has been hacked like no company ever has. They're not going after credit information. They're going after emails, which have been released, which are incredibly derogatory to President Obama and Angelina Jolie.
Worse
so you don't think that this is the North Koreans?
I definitely don't think it is said that the North Koreans are behind this because of an upcoming movie that makes fun of North Korea that Sony has done. But it's just hard to believe that the North Koreans have such a shrewd sense of how Hollywood works that they completely understand that releasing emails by Scott Rudin and Amy Pascal, the two executives involved, could be so devastating.
Will they ever eat lunch in that town again, Joe?
Well, they probably will.
Well, Jonah Sarah with The New York Times and Rana Fruhart with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you like this program, you can find it as a podcast on iTunes or just find us online at moneytalking.org. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.